Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely morning, and we do hope that we can be part of that morning, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So we're looking for your participation. We'd love to hear from you, and we do hope you will give us a call soon, because soon is the best time to call. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. And we'll be taking your questions, giving you questions and taking your questions on just about every subject, with the possible exceptions of sports or rock. But other than that, the field is very wide open. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, you can hear us in live stream, of course. That is at kalw.org. And we do have an email, believe it or not, we're in the modern age. And you can reach us during the show through email as well. We'd love to talk to you more. In other words, we'd rather talk to you on the phone, but if you want to use email, that's fine too. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time today, and that will be also at kalw.org and many other places, but please start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. We're going to start, as usual, with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace knows that... Wait a minute, that's wrong one. We almost did one from 3 months ago.
They last forever.
Yeah, good for timeless.
okay, here we go. Kira Pace hopes that the Florida listeners check in to let us know they're okay.
I do, in a post-Milton world. With only 23 days until the election, Lori Fisher is hoping that all our listeners are registered and ready to vote, and almost as importantly, can help him sort out the alphabet soup that is of this year's confusion of bond issues, measures, and propositions.
If you think that, Lori, why are you leaving the country?
I think I could get help overseas with the straight out the alphabet.
Get out the overseas. And, okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm voting over there. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has heard that in the Trump Bible, the money changers are actually chased into the temple.
Yep. a few small changes. Anyway, that is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
Real quick, I would like to urge our listeners to look at the state of Michigan's, their I voted stickers. They had school children submit designs, and they have several that won, and they are fantastic. So I think everyone here in California would vote if they could get an "Ope, I voted" or an "I voted yay" sticker or a werewolf ripping off his shirt. All of which are designs that the state of Michigan has for their I voted stickers. So
it's a great idea. They're right. Terrific. Yeah. Oh, they're great. Yeah.
They're good. All right. I am going to give you a title in which somebody plays the president of the United States. And I want you to tell me the actor. And if you want, you can also tell me the name of the president of the United States in that movie.
Are these all real presidents or some imaginary presidents?
Not one of them is a real president. You're okay. Not going to get a Daniel Day-Lewis here in Lincoln. Or, I think that's right. I really hope Daniel Day-Lewis was the guy who played Lincoln, because I honestly...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic.
You might have been in another one too.
Okay, excellent. All right, so the first movie is Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up. Number two is Mars Attacks. Two answers acceptable in that one, Mars Attacks. Number three is In Like Flint. Number four is The Pelican Brief. Number five is Idiocracy. Let's see. Number six is 7 Days in May. Let's do number seven, Captain America, Brave New World. Number eight, Being There. Number nine, Escape from New York. And number 10, Hot Shots Part Deux.
The No American President. That was what I was hoping for.
No, I didn't. Sorry. So again, and I might have these in the wrong order when I reread them. Don't Look Up, Mars Attacks, In Like Flint, Pelican Brief, Idiocracy. Oh, I didn't do this one. Captain America, Brave New World, 7 Days in May. I think I said Being There, Escape from New York, and Hot Shots Part Deux. I'm going to do 11th, actually, Primary Colors. So let's do that one.
Oh, you just added one more?
Primary Colors.
Yeah, I almost know that one.
All right, Laura, you go first. You
like. I got one I think I know and one I might know, and then wild guesses. I think Being There starred Peter Sellers, but the president was Melvin Douglas.
No, that's not what I have.
All right. Then how about, I'll take one more. How about in 7 Days of May, was Frederick March the president?
Yes. President okay. Jordan Lyman, played by Frederick March.
All right. Dana, you clean up then.
Well, Being There, I believe the president was Jack Warden.
President Roberts, played by Jack Warden.
Right. Nice. And let's see, Jack Nicholson was the president in Mars Attacks.
Right? One of the two presidents.
One of the two. I can't remember what the other one is.
His daughter, Natalie Portman.
Oh, okay. So, and
James and Taffy Dale. James Dale and by the end of the movie, Taffy Dale. I hope I'm not spoiling anything from this 30-year-old movie.
And then what was the first one you said? I'm sorry.
Don't Look Up.
Oh, that's Meryl Streep, right?
As Janie Orlean.
Who gets eaten by a creature at the very end of the movie.
She does. That's right.
That's worse. Yeah.
And, you know, Idiocracy, I was trying to think of, is it? It's somebody like Terry Crews. Is it Terry Crews or somebody? It's somebody to remind me of Terry Crews.
There's two acceptable answers there. Terry Crews was Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Herbert Camacho, president. Also at the end, Luke Wilson as Joe Not Sure Bowers is the president. Right. So yes, okay. That's correct.
Okay. And I should point out that Chris sent out an email that also got Terry Crews. So yes. There you go.
Yes. All right. Perhaps my favorite president on this list is President Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
That's the Terry Crews one?
That is the Terry Crews one in Idiocracy. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I almost know.
Surprisingly close to coming true.
I remember In Like Flint, the movie. Can you picture that?
I cannot picture. I remember the, you know, Lee J. Cobb, but that wasn't him, and James Coburn, I don't remember who the president was.
And the Pelican Brief, I'm close on that one.
No, that I don't remember either.
Yeah, the audience will get those.
Okay, so go ahead, Kira, and give what's left.
All right, so once again, I've given you titles of movies in which somebody plays the President of the United States, and I want you to tell me the actor. The ones we have left are In Like Flint, The Pelican Brief, Captain America, Brave New World, Escape from New York, Hot Shots Part Deux, and Primary Colors.
All right. And just want to remind you the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Lori, go ahead.
Here, let me take one more quick guess if they only got one. Is Primary Colors sure. John Travolta?
Yes, as okay. President Jack Stanton.
All right.
And since you took one more, I will add one more for the audience. You can have Love Actually, the president in Love Actually.
Another good one. Anyway, I'm continuing my tribute to Saturday Night Live. I have two short questions today. Number one is, there have been 167 comedians who have been cast members. I do not want you to name them all, but only one is an honorary cast member. This person hosted in 1983, and at the end was presented a plaque making him the one and only honorary cast member. My other question is, only two people have been cast members, guest hosts, and members of bands that played on the show. So two people, both men, independent of each other, have both hosted, been cast members, and have been in bands that played on the show. Who were they? And then who was the one person who got an honorary plaque as an honorary cast member plaque?
Well, one of them must be Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, correct. In the Blues Brothers, hosted, yeah, and was on it. Very good. Give yourself a bell on that one. The other one's tougher.
Did Fred Armisen ever play in a band that was on the show?
No, not a name band. He played music lots of times, I think, but never in a band that was named. And that was the featured band. So this was the musical guest of the night, you know, like the Blues Brothers. Yeah.
Okay, just go over all that once more.
All right. So of the 167 comedians who have been cast members, only one is an honorary cast member. This person hosted in 1983. And at the end of the show was given an honorary plaque, inducting them into the honorary cast member category, of which there is one. And only two people, and Dana got Dan Aykroyd, have hosted, been an official cast member, and been in a band that was featured as a band on the show. I'm looking for the other one.
All right. With the honorary cast member, did they only host in 1983?
I think so. I think it was a single. I think it was a one-off. I don't know for sure, but I think so. Certainly not a five-timer or anything like that.
So, I'm sorry. So the one that did host in 1983, that was a one-time only thing?
I think it's not someone who's known as a host of the show, like all the five-timers, like Tom Hanks. It's not somebody like that. I think it was just it was the eighth year of the show. I think it was just a one-time, maybe twice, but no more than that.
Okay. All right. Keep that out.
Great.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you, of course, with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay, I'm not sure it's me.
It is you, yes.
Okay, hey, the Love Actually, the president was Billy Bob Thornton.
That is correct. He played the role of the president. Uh-huh. He was given no name.
I'm sorry?
I said he played the role of the president and he was given no name. You are correct.
Okay, got it. Yep. I'll let other people play.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good work.
And okay, let me do a couple questions here. You may remember the last week I mentioned the British Film Institute's list of the 100 greatest British films, and I asked the male actor that appeared most often in those films. So this week I'm going to ask, who is the female actor that starred the most often in the 100 greatest British films? And the interesting part is she's still alive. So who is the female actress who starred in the most of the British Film Institute's list of 100 greatest British films? And if you get this actress, I will ask you what could possibly be the six films that are on that list that she starred.
So and, Joanna's guessing Judi Dench.
It is not Judi Dench. It is a real leading actress type. So who is the lead actress who starred in the has the most credits in the 100 greatest British films list provided by the British Film Institute, and she is still very much alive.
And is she old, like in her 80s?
Well, she, yes,
unlike Judy,
she's older.
Judy Dench would be a kid.
Yeah,
Maggie Smith recently died, so it's not her.
Yeah. So, all right, think about that. And you're, yes, we're all aware of the six films that she has on that list, by the way. Second question. There are seven countries that I could find that have no official language. In other words, no official language that's written into their constitution or the equivalent thereof. So what are those countries? What are the seven countries, and they're pretty well-known countries, that have no official language?
Well, one of them is the United States.
One of them is indeed the United States, yes.
It is.
So, yes, what are the seven countries that have no official language? Kira got the United States.
Is Mexico also one?
No, okay. It used to be, but okay. I don't think it is anymore. At least it's not on the official list of that. Okay, now I'm going to ask one more thing. What is the, in the Winter Olympics, and I think the Summer Olympics, it's all, I think it's all the Olympics, that's currently, the events that are currently in both Summer and Winter Olympics. What is the only four-word titled sport? What is the only four-word titled sport in the Olympics that's an event at the right now?
So it's a Winter Olympic sport or it's in both?
No, I'm just saying it's, I'm combining the winter and summer. Okay. So it's in one of those. Mm-hmm. What is the, now you can't say, for instance, you can't use weightlifting as two words. That would be one word. So these are four separate words.
And this is it's a full category though, like track cycling as opposed to like, or cycling rather, as opposed to like BMX or track cycling, or is it I forget the word they use.
It's a single event. So in other words, it's not a, yes, it's a single event within a particular type.
Is one of the it's one of the words a number?
No numbers.
No, it's not the 100.
No, what is the only four word titled sport, four separate words in all the Olympics? And the numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255.
I have a question for Kira on this one. The figure skating, is something like the ballroom dance figure skating? Is there one that combines a bunch of things like that?
Do they have that?
I have no idea. I don't know on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, just once more. What countries have no official language? Kira got the United States. What are the others? And in the British Film Institute's list of 100 greatest British films of all time, who's the most common actress? There's six films on that list, and she is still very much alive.
Joanne's guessing Julie Christie for that one.
I'm sorry, who's guessing that?
Joanne has said Julie Christie.
Well, Joanne is correct.
Oh,
yes.
Man, great.
It's Julie Christie. And so now you have to think of the six films that are on that list.
So is the
Julie Christie. What's that?
Is the Go-Between one of them?
The Go-Between is one of them, yes.
And was she in Far From the Madding Crowd?
She was in Far From the Madding Crowd. That's two.
Okay. I'll let Kira get the rest.
And what is the only four-word titled sport in the Olympics? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, it's Steve in Vallejo.
Hi, Steve. It's nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Yeah, Saturday mornings are rough for me.
Join the team.
A couple of weeks ago, you asked about the last Kmart store in the U.S. closing.
Yes.
And point of order, that was the last full-size Kmart in the continental United States.
All right. Uh-oh. Thank you for that. No, I think I did say full-size, last full-size Kmart. But,
full-size.
But thank you for breaking that down. I appreciate it.
So my question is, what is the other store that is still in the continental United States? And where are the other four stores that are not in the continental United States?
I think the other four stores are in the Philippines?
No.
No? Okay.
These are
there are other stores that are outside the United States, but these are four other stores that are in the United States, but not the continental United States.
Oh, okay. Well, that narrows it down to two.
I
would guess Alaska, right?
Nope.
Yep, the other one then.
I'm going, how about Hawaii?
Yeah.
Or is that
nope.
a trick?
Oh, okay. In that case, Puerto Rico.
No.
Okay, American Samoa?
No. Right. We're narrowing the list.
Uh-oh, well, she's on the right track then. It's a U.S.
Yeah, so we have Guam and the I think the Marianas, right?
How about
not the Marianas?
How about the Virgin Islands or something place like that?
Yeah, so there are three stores in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
All right.
And there is one store in Guam, which I actually visited about 12 years ago, and I was told at the time that it was the largest Kmart in the world. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly seems possible because it's huge.
No, it's no contest anymore, I guess. Yeah,
no, really.
Okay. So,
what are we missing?
So the last one is there is one more not full-size store in the continental United States. It's in a mall.
So is it in the Southwest or the Southern United States?
Yes.
No.
Very far.
I'll start the bidding with Alabama then.
Good.
More Southern than Alabama.
It would seem.
Well, there's only one then.
It would seem to me that they would be more likely to place like Florida than Alabama.
Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah, it's Miami.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then, I had the president question for Kira. Hotshots, the president Hotshots Part Two was Lloyd Bridges.
As Thomas Tug Benson, you are correct.
Good job.
And it wasn't Escape from New York, was that Donald Pleasance?
It was. Nice job.
Awesome. Good. That's it for me. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or answer for us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And Kira, we'll come back to you. Your turn.
All right. There are three films that have received nominations in all four acting categories, but won zero of those awards. What are they, and who was nominated?
Hmm. Can you tell me in a general way how old these films are?
They are from the 20th century and the 21st century.
Well, I think one was actually brought up last week.
Yeah.
My Man Godfrey, yeah. That's,
and who was nominated?
William Powell, Carol Lombard, Misha Auer, and Alice Brady.
That is correct. My Man Godfrey is the first of three.
Right.
So that's, I think, 1936. So they won't be before 1936. That should help immensely in answering.
Yeah.
And you said one is 21st century?
Yes, there is one in the 21st century.
So all four categories, but no winners.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Which is not to say that they did not win any awards. Right. At least one of these, one of the two that's left did win other awards. The other one famously did not.
Did any of them win Best Picture?
Yes, I believe it was a Best Picture winner. Let me just double check that, actually.
Sure.
But the other one, not.
Okay. All right.
Good question.
And
I'm sorry. No, it was nominated for Best Picture, did not win.
All right. So let's see. Peter suggests that on the Julie Christie question. Far from the Manning crowd, that is correct, of course. The James is wondering, on the four-word Olympic sport, is there a sport called hop, skip, and jump? Well, that is kind of four-word.
You know, it's
words, but no, it's not. It's not a.
I don't think they use the and. I think it's now called the triple jump.
I think so. Bill is wondering if one of the Julie Christie films is Dr. Zhivago. That is correct. Dr. Zhivago is one of them. Very good. Let's see. Peter was also wondering if the Julie Andrews was one of the BFI actress instead of Julie Christie, but no, it's not that. And Chris is wondering if the SNL host, cast, and band member was Christopher Guest.
It was not.
And that actually qualified. I think he did. Didn't he host? And he was in the imaginary band.
You know what? And when I'll have to check. I don't think he hosted.
He was a cast member.
He definitely was a cast member, and he definitely played in a band. He's not. I'll give you a hint.
Wasn't Spinal Tap actually on the, didn't they?
They were. Yeah. And that's the hint. The band is Spinal Tap. And the answer is, go ahead.
It's either Michael McKean or Harry Shearer. So probably Michael McKean.
It's Michael McKean hosted. And then, in fact, he was in the band first. Then he hosted. Then he was in the cast. When I look, I thought it'd be Christopher Guest, but I don't think he hosted. He was the other two. Okay, but very good. All right.
Good job. Wait. I'm sorry. Kira, go ahead, please. Is it your turn?
No, I asked you that sweet Academy Award question.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Excuse me. And let's go to a call. Oops. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So yesterday was two good day. I was one good day for two events. One, of course, Yom Kippur, which happy, not right by occasion, but is happy day for all of our Jewish friends and relatives. Okay, what incident does it represent?
I don't understand the question, but...
I mean, what does celebrate, what Yom Kippur stand for? What incident?
Day of Atonement.
Yes, and what happened in the day?
Historically, or do you mean as a religious practice?
No, historically. It has something to do with, our prophet Moses. What happened when he went back to his people? To our people. I will tell you because time is short. All right, he went back with the second set of Ten Commandments, and they were praying for the golden cow. That is the incident, and that's where repentance and all that. Okay, yesterday also, Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to Japanese Nihon Nihon. And the last name of the group is Hidankyo. Hidankyo. And that was great. That was great. And this group have been trying to ban nuclear bombs, which is horrible. Nuclear bomb today is 1,000 times as powerful as Hiroshima one, which killed about 200,000 people. Okay, my question to you, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1994? It gone to three people. And it fits the occasion very well. It fit the occasion very well. Today, what's happening today? Not part of the world.
Three people.
Go ahead. No, was it the peace accords in Israel?
Yes. Nobel Peace Accords. Yes. Who are the three people who won it? Who are the three? Time short,
Sadat?
Not Sadat.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you're very close. Let's say Arafat. And there were two Israelis. What a great Israeli president. Both of them are very good. Who are the two Israeli presidents that won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1994? Take a guess.
Yes.
One was assassinated shortly after.
Yeah.
I'll give it
to Rabin.
And the other one?
Shimon Peres.
Very good. Very celebration in both of them. With that occasion, who are, for your audience, the two Nobel, my professor, two UC professor who won the physics Nobel Prize in 1959. Don't answer the difference with the audience. Other question for the audience. Very quickly, last week we said that the Statue of Liberty was modeled of an Egyptian woman. Okay, what other great American monument was modeled after an ancient Egyptian statue at Abu Simbel? Do you know? Can you take a guess?
You mean as in Cleopatra's Needle, that kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Cleopatra is actually Egyptian, so you know that one was built by an American man.
Hmm.
His name is Gotzon Borglum.
That's Mount Rushmore, then.
Oh.
Exactly. Can you name the three presidents and Mount Rushmore?
There are four.
There's four.
four.
Unless they took one down. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson. Roosevelt, and Jefferson, yeah.
Right.
Okay. For your audience, then, name the ancient Egyptian monument that man, Gotzon Borglum, had modeled that whole thing after visiting Egypt the years before. Thank you all, great show, and have a very good day, and happy Yom Kippur to everybody. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Saturday morning at 10. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, of course. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I think we do have a couple of lines open right now. In the meantime, it is 5:30, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, let's start with you.
All right. I've given you the titles of some movies in which somebody plays the President of the United States, and I want you to tell me the actor who does this. The ones we have left are In Like Flint, Pelican Brief, and Captain America, Brave New World. Also, there are three films that have received nominations in all four acting categories, but won zero of those awards. What are they and who was nominated? Dana got my man Gottfried looking for the other two movies.
All right. Lori.
Yeah, Kira, guess. Pelican Brief? How about Gene Hackman?
Nope, not Gene Hackman.
All right. I just have one question outstanding, and it was in 1983, someone hosted Saturday Night Live, and at the end of the show was given the only entrance as an honorary cast member. Who was it? And that's all I have working.
All right. Oh, we got that. No, we didn't get that. Okay.
No, we got all Michael McKean and Dan Aykroyd being the band host and cast member.
All right. Okay. And in the Summer and Winter Olympics combined, what is the only sport that is four words long? So what is the only four-word titled sport in the Summer and Winter Olympics?
Ooh.
You can get that. And I asked you, the British Film Institute's list of the 100 greatest British films of all time. Who is the most common actress that is mentioned? It has six films on that list. Julie Christie was gotten. And I still have a couple of films left. So I asked you to name the Julie Christie films that are actually on that list. So we still have The Go-Between, Far From the Madding Crowd, Dr. Zhivago. We still have a couple left on that list if you'd like to try for those. And there are seven countries I could find that have no official language. The United States is one of them. What are the other ones on that list?
Does South Africa have an official language?
Oh, they have about 11 official languages.
I couldn't remember if it was an India situation where they have 14, or if they didn't actually name one.
It is. It is very much like that.
All right.
So again, what countries have no official language besides the United States? There are six others on that list. And I think that is it for the moment. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
Let me take a Julie Christie guess. Is Don't Look Now on the list?
Don't Look Now is on that list, yeah.
It's a great film. All right. Excuse me. I ran into a wonderful book called Oldest San Francisco, written by Alex Scott. Picked it up at Dog-Eared Books. And it lists the oldest everything in San Francisco. I'm going to give you seven categories. And according to the research, this is the most accurate representation of the oldest bookstore. Second one is the oldest movie theater. Third one is the oldest restaurant. Number four is the oldest hotel. Number five is the oldest cathedral. Number six is the oldest elementary school. And the number 7 is the oldest private high school. So I'm looking for the oldest bookstore, movie theater, restaurant, hotel, cathedral, elementary school, and private high school. And thanks to Sue Schweit for buying me this book.
I think the only one I can do is restaurant.
Go ahead.
Is that just the Tadich Grill?
It is. Very nice. 1849 is the date of that one. Still downtown, still serving the same food.
Would you go over that list just once more?
Yeah. Bookstore, movie theater, Carriage Just Got Restaurant, hotel, cathedral, elementary school, and private high school.
Is it St. Mary's that's the oldest cathedral?
It is. On California.
There aren't that many cathedrals.
54. Yeah, that's right. 1854. Very good on that. And in general, I would say all of these are well-known places. The only one I didn't know off the was the elementary school, but they're kind of well-known, I believe.
Is the oldest movie theater still open?
Yes. I believe all of these are still open.
Hmm.
Okay.
What about the Victoria?
It's not the Victoria.
Well, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
Rialto.
Not the Rialto. This one's older than the Rialto.
Is it downtown?
No.
The Balboa?
Not the Balboa.
I think that's close, man. All right.
I think the Balboa is close. This one's open and not downtown.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. That's right. Talking to an echo chamber. Are you there, caller?
Well, we're here. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Sandra. How are you?
In the echo chamber. Nice work.
Yeah.
We are good. All right, let's see. Well, we got sniped on a couple of them, but is one of the countries without an official language the Vatican?
No, I think the Latin is the official language of the Vatican, actually.
Well,
wow.
What do they know?
They know Latin, yeah.
Yeah, they sure do. the Julie Christie movies, we were a little confused about the category. Dr. Zhivago wasn't a British production, so we didn't...
It was a British production.
It was?
Yeah.
David Lean?
Well, yeah. McCabe and Mrs. Miller was the only other one that I thought that might be, because it's one of my favorite old movies.
Not McCabe and Mrs. Miller. And remember, the fact that she has 6 films on the list means that all those 6 films were made in England.
Right. Okay.
For the most part.
So okay, you were correct in your wording, and I misunderstood. Okay. Sandra's got one for you.
What do I have? I have your honorary cast member, I think.
Yes.
Who would be the great Sid Caesar.
It was the great Sid Caesar, kind of as a tribute to sketch comedy and also him hosting. Nice work.
Well, yeah. Well, he sort of invented the whole thing that became Saturday Night Live.
He sure did. And it was wonderful that they gave him that tribute.
Yeah. The great granddaddy of them all. Is it possible that City Lights is the oldest bookstore? Have all the older ones gone away?
It is possible, but it's not correct. This is older than City Lights.
All right. Well, the only other one I go to is Green Apple. I think that's not as long. That's not as old.
No.
It's don't know when Green Apple opened, but this was definitely before that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did you say you don't know Green Apple?
No, I know
Green Apple. But I don't know if it's still open. But I know that this bookstore is older than Green Apple.
Okay.
All right. Then.
Did we have something else?
I don't have anything.
Well, no more guesses for us.
No more guesses. Okay. I got a quick question. An actual quick question. What famous American knew both John Quincy Adams and Alger Hiss?
So, did this person know Alger Hiss as a child?
No, both Alger Hiss and this person were adults at the time.
Okay, well, John Quincy Adams died in 1848. So that's quite a reach. Let's see.
And this person's famous enough that we'll know their name, right?
Oh, yeah.
A politician?
Not a politician.
What was this person famous? In other words, what area was this person famous for?
In non government, but not not politics government.
Like a Bernard Baruch kind of thing?
Kind of.
Or Oliver Wendell Holmes?
Ah, Oliver Wendell Holmes.
No kidding.
That's right. Okay, so Oliver Wendell Holmes, when he was 6 years old, he played chess with a 90-plus-year-old John Quincy Adams.
That's wild.
And when he was a Supreme Court justice in about 1930, Alger Hiss was one of his clerks.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, what a connection. Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
All right, that's all we got today.
Good question.
And I believe he also saved Lincoln's life during the Civil War as well.
Goodness me!
Wow.
All right. Well, that's right there. That's a full life.
We'll rewrite that question and ask it next week.
Right. We won't remember, so you're in good shape.
All right. Well, we're good. All right. Have a great day. Love the show.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
How did Holmes save Lincoln's life?
Lincoln was observing a I don't remember which battle it was, and his hat made him very conspicuous. He was wearing a stovepipe hat, and it made it very conspicuous. And the Holmes yelled at him, who was the cavalry, I think he was a cavalry officer, yelled at him to take off his hat and get out of the way. And yeah, Lincoln took off his hat and got out of the way.
Nice.
So anyway, you are listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. Stefan just sent me an email. I believe he's a frequent caller, it's the same Stefan, and says that the Roxy Theater is the oldest movie theater. He's a member of the Roxy Theater. Is that the
and
one
he
you
is had? Correct. It was built in 1913, and it's still over there on 16th Street. Very good.
Okay, thank you, Stefan, for that. And Chris is wondering if the Olympic sport is 3-on-3 basketball. I don't think that's... Ooh. Is that a...
That is its name. It's like 3-on-3 or 3-by-3, but it's like a 3 and an X and a 3, I think.
Wasn't on the list of that, so... All right, I'll look it up.
I thought it was...
it's just 3-by-3, isn't it? Maybe they don't say basketball title.
I thought it was an exhibition sport.
No, it is Olympic sport, medal, everything has been for the past two Olympics.
And 3-by-3 might be hyphenated, therefore making it one word. I'm not sure. This is a good one to look up.
No, I think it is actually just called 3-by-3. I don't think they use the word basketball in the event name. Like it's part of the basketball, not division, category, whatever. Again, there's a word I'm forgetting, but I think it's just called 3-by-3.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
All right, leave that out. All right, let me ask a quick question here. So I am curious, what is the richest and poorest country that actually border each other in the world? What is the most extreme example, I guess maybe I should put it this way, of the richest and poorest country that share a common border?
A lot of silence there. Would telling us the continent help? I mean, it would help, but would you?
I don't think I'm going to tell you the continent, no. Okay. But what is the most extreme example of the richest and poorest country sharing a common border?
So when you say it's the richest compared to what?
The richest compared to the country that they're sharing the border with. In other words, like, they're rich and the country they share the border with is poor. So, but that's the most extreme example in the world of the richest and poorest countries sharing a border. So one, the richest country has 20 times greater, national, what's the word I'm looking for? GDP, than gross national product than the poor country. Let's put that.
Sure. What about in the Middle East? There's going to be a really rich. I don't know if the geography there, like you do.
I don't know of a particularly poor Middle Eastern country, so I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. So once think about that. Once more, what is the most extreme example of the richest country and the poorest country sharing a border?
What about like Brunei and Indonesia?
That's a pretty good guess. But no, not that. Not that. Indonesia is not that poor country.
No, but Brunei is pretty rich.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, just in comparison to Brunei. So since these are only comparative wealths as opposed to wealth on a list of all countries.
But okay, leave that out. And
what about, I don't actually know how much either has, but what about like South Africa and Botswana?
Oh, okay. No, not that.
Okay.
We in the right part of the world yet?
Yeah.
I'm not by we, I mean Kirif. Is she in the right part of the world?
Well, then I'll take one more guess then. How about Brazil and Bolivia? Do they border? I believe they do.
I think they do, but I don't think that'll be it.
But right? No, that's not it.
Okay.
And Janos sent an email saying that Green Apple Books was founded in 1967, so it's not the oldest.
Right.
Surely not the oldest in San Francisco.
Correct.
And
this bookstore is much older than that.
Right. Can you tell us generally how old the book? No, I don't think it's going to help very much, but how old?
I think
is
so. It? Well, I was surprised. This bookstore was established in 1851. And then there's more, it might be a hint. It might, there's more than one branch of it now.
Oh.
So it's a mini, I think of it as a mini chain. I don't know. I think there's three in the Bay Area, maybe, you know what? I think more in the Bay Area and three in San Francisco.
It's not half price.
Not half price.
Is it the one that's on Market and in West Portal and I've lost its name?
I only wrote down the one that is the official oldest, and that's not in either of those. I'm looking at the time, and that's more near Marina, kind of near the Marina in that area.
I mean, there's a bookstore left on Market Street?
That I don't know. And this one, I don't think this is on Market Street.
All right, leave that out.
Yeah.
And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's check this here. And Peter is wondering if, that's very good. Peter had a very good guess that the richest and poorest country that share a common border was Saudi Arabia and Yemen. That's actually number two on the list. So they're very good. I mean, you came pretty close there. Saudi Arabia and Yemen, that's number two on the list.
All right.
And okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello? No? Okay, sorry about that. All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hello, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. It's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Let's see. Dana, is one of those Julie Christie films Petulia by chance?
It is not. That was an American film, very much. But yeah. It's not. That's not on the list, I should say.
Okay. For the countries with no official language, is any one of them in Europe?
Yes.
Could that be Luxembourg?
Luxembourg is one. There are actually two more that are in Europe as well, by the way.
Well, if there are two more, is one of them Bulgaria?
Not Bulgaria.
Okay. Is one of the other remaining ones, could that be Cuba?
Cuba? Is that what you said?
Yes.
No, not Cuba.
Okay. The forward titled sport in the Olympics, could that be the 4x100 relay?
Huh. No, it's not. No, it's not what I have anyway.
That is an event.
Okay.
But I don't know how
it's
written. Yeah. It's written 4x100 relay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the bordering richest and poorest countries. How about North and South Korea?
That is correct.
Oh.
South Korea.
That makes an abundant amount of sense.
That does.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Glad you got that.
Okay. I have a follow-up question to one that I asked a while back. You might remember I asked about Janis Joplin's last album, the Pearl album, and how the recording of Mercedes-Benz got on that album. Then there's another part of that that's also got a story to it. So here's the question. There's a well-known Bay Area musician and songwriter. Mind you, he's not a Bay Area native. He was born in Chicago, who wrote a song for Janis that was supposed to be included on the Pearl album. However, Janis died the day before she was scheduled to go into the studio to record that track. Two questions. Who was the songwriter? And what was the song?
So the song became famous, recorded by somebody else, correct?
That is correct. It's been covered since by many blues artists.
I'm sorry, did you say where this songwriter was from? Did you mention that?
I did.
And you said Chicago? Is that what you said?
Well, he was born in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And lived in the Bay Area for, I'd say, probably the majority of his life.
Oh. And do we know the songwriter as a singer-songwriter or just more as a songwriter?
I think you know him as both a musician and a songwriter.
You know, I almost said Kris Kristofferson, but he wasn't from, he didn't live in the Bay Area, and he, I don't think he was born in Chicago, so much he for wasn't. That.
And he wrote me in Bobby McGee, so I don't think the caller would have that. Was this person in a band, like a famous band, too?
He was indeed. Several of them.
Oh, several of them.
Hmm. No.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, I do not know.
Okay, so let's see. Here's a couple of clues. One of which I gave in his introduction, in which Dana confirmed. He wrote, for example, One Toke Over the Line for Brewer and Shipley. And Right Place, Wrong Time for Otis Rush. And I'll tell you this, the song in question has a title that is very ironic given the circumstances of why it wasn't recorded.
Fame, subtitled, I'm Gonna Live Forever.
That's a good guess, Kara, but no.
I do that. I do know that One Toke Over the Line because that was a song I played all the time when I was.
Yeah, can you tell us?
One who wrote of the, it?
Can you tell us one of the bands this guy was in, or was he in?
This is going to be one of those like, who's in it? Like a ton of bands, like a Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young person.
Well,
or,
sort of that kind of person. Yeah.
Eric Clapton, he was in the
Butterfield Blues Band.
I'm asking this
because he died just a few weeks ago.
Did Paul Butterfield die a few weeks ago?
Was this a band or a duo? Maybe.
Oh no! He was in bands.
Okay. No.
So it wasn't Paul Butterfield himself, right? You wouldn't have given us
information. Yeah. No, it was a different member of the band.
Yeah, I saw something recently. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of it. Okay. So that was Nick Gravenites.
Say it again?
Nick Gravenites.
Oh.
I remember him. Yeah. So what was the song?
And the song was Buried Alive in the Blues.
Yeah, wouldn't have gotten that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I remember him, but only vaguely.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for taking the call, and have a great rest of the day.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bye.
And let's see. Anne is wondering if one of the Julie Christie movies is Darling, and that is correct, is Darling. Matter of fact, that was the one she won the Academy Award for Best Actress for. So I think we have, let's see, we have Don't Look Now, Darling, Go Between, Far From the Madding Crowd, Dr. Zhivago, so we're just missing one on that list.
Is the one we're missing kind of recent? Within
the no, the one, it's quite old. It's from the early 60s. Yeah. And then John, Sparky and Maddie are wondering if official languages, the UK, which is correct. These are countries without official languages. UK is correct. Australia is correct. Not New Zealand, though. No. So they're right on that. Let's see. And then there were various guesses on the rich and the poor country sharing a common border. We had Australia and Papua New Guinea and China and Kashmir, which is not really a country. It's part of a country. But yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's take it one more call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter. Are you there, caller? Anybody there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I have one thing to say about a previous answer. Nick Gravanides did not write... he may have written that song, but he did not write One Took Over the Line. Mike Brewer wrote that, but Nick Gravanides produced it.
Huh.
So that threw me off a little bit. The four-word Olympic sport, I believe, is short track speed skating.
You are so right. There you go.
Say it again.
But didn't there used to be another one like downhill ski and shoot? Or
well, there
like
may
that.
Have been, but it's not an official sport now. So,
oh, right.
Yes,
oh,
short
okay.
track speed skating is the foreword.
Yeah, short track speed skating. Yeah,
right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Right.
All right. Well, that saved me an answer there. Let's clean up. Kira, I'll start with you.
All right. In Like Flint, the president was played by Andrew Duggan, President Melvin Trent. In Pelican Brief, Robert Culp was the president. And in Captain America, Brave New World, that is Harrison Ford as Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. Also, the other two films that received nominations in all four acting categories, but won zero of those awards, they were Sunset Boulevard and American Hustle.
Oh, okay. Laurie.
I have old stuff. So, the oldest private high school is Sacred Heart Catholic Preparatory School, opened in 1852. The oldest elementary school is Spring Valley Science Elementary on Jackson Street. The oldest hotel I thought someone would get, it's the Palace Hotel downtown, 1875. And the oldest bookstore is on Chestnut Street, Books, Inc., started in 1851.
Okay. Yeah, there's one in Alameda, so right.
Yeah. Well, that's
and there's the one on in West Portal, and I think there's still the one on Market Street. I think that's still there.
Is that right? Okay. Anyway, that's what that's it for me.
All right. And in case you didn't hear, the only four-word titled sport in the Olympics is short track speed skating. Although Julie Christie, of course, was the most common actress on the 100 greatest British films, according to the BFI. And those are Don't Look Now, Darling, The Go-Between, Far From the Madding Crowd, Dr. Zhivago, and Billy Liar was the other one. Ooh. Billy Liar. The countries that on my list anyway that do not have an official language, the United States, Australia, the UK, Eritrea, Luxembourg, Sweden, and Tuvalu. If we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Laurie Fisher teaches at Davo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling board and phones. As I said before, thanks to you above all for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye.